Okay, good morning, everybody. We're holding today in Perek Chav Zayin in the Tiferes Yisrael, and we're moving on here from the discussions about Matan Torah. A lot of what we talked about here was about Torah itself and about the wait for Torah, the generations before the formal giving of the Torah. At this point, we're already getting up to the actual giving of the Torah. Over the past couple of prakim, we have been talking about that. We've been talking about the time chosen for Matan Torah. Last week, we spoke about the place chosen for Matan Torah. And here in Perek Chav Zayin, the Maral goes on to discuss the Gemara in Shabbos, famous Gemara, relatively speaking, where the Gemara speaks about the precise date of the Torah being given. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Peivav, v'shisha b'chaydesh nitnu at seres adibris liyisrael, Rabbi Yossi Emer b'shiva b'yitz. Fundamental machlaikas, between the Tanakama, the first opinion, and Rabbi Yossi, as to whether the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan, or on the 7th of Sivan. And the Gemara goes on, and Rava says, everybody agrees that they arrived at Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Pasuk says, b'chaydesh ha-shlishi, right, by Yom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai, on this day they came to Midbar Sinai, which the Gemara learns by association means on the first day of the month, on Rosh Chodesh, like it says, Achodesh Hazeh Lachem. So everybody agrees that they arrived at Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh, Sivan, and everybody agrees that they received the Torah on Shabbos. What's the question? The question is, was Rosh Chodesh on Sunday, or was Rosh Chodesh on Monday? And if Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, then the 7th is Shabbos. If Rosh Chodesh is on Monday, then the 6th is Shabbos. And furthermore, everybody also agrees, this we find also in the Gemara, which is that they left Mitzrayim on a Thursday. They left Mitzrayim on a Thursday, which means that the 50th day of Sphira was actually on Friday. Which is the way it always works out with our celebration of Pesach. In other words, if we would have left Mitzrayim on Thursday, our celebration of Shavuos would have been on a Friday, but the Torah was given on Shabbos. Right? This year, Pesach was on Tuesday, Monday night, Tuesday, and Shavuos is on Tuesday night, Wednesday. That's always the way it is, because obviously, if the first day of Sphira is the second day of Pesach, then the 50th day of Sphira is going to be the same day of the week, unless you have a leap week in the middle. So we end up with this complicated sort of cheshbon of things. We have the agreed upon elements, and we have the conflicted elements. But there's some things which turn out to be ironic here. Yes,
I haven't learned that Gemara, but we have another drasha from Hashishi from Hey Hayidia. So that the Kadosh waited until the real
Bereishis,
so right, it's the sixth. That sixth is the sixth.
The sixth of Sivan,
when
the Torah was given.
Right.
And according to only one opinion, the Torah was given on the sixth of Sivan.
So where's the seventh? Where's he?
And according to no opinions, the Torah was given on the 50th day of Sphira.
Right.
Right? So it gets a little complicated. So part of these things are what the Maral is going to address here in this parak. Okay, so we'll see. We'll see about a little bit about it. Now, the first thing, however, that's dealt with as the core of the machlokes is the following: what's the sequence of events? How does it work? This sequence of events that happened around Matan Torah. The Parsha Matan Torah begins in Parshas Yisrael. It starts B'chodesh HaShlishi, on the third month. Parenthetically, I just tell you a good vort, which is important. The B'chodesh HaShlishi, that's the first word of the perek, that's the first word of the paragraph. It's very unusual, right? Usually, everything starts with Va, you know? Well, it was, you know, and Hashem came to Moshe, or and it was on the third month, and so on and so forth. B'chodesh HaShlishi, on the third month, the Jewish people of Mitzrayim, on this day they came to Midbar Sinai. So the Meshech Chachma notes this, or Meir Simcha notes this, and he says a beautiful thing. He says that that we learn in the end of Parshas Mishpatim that when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people, they took the Sefer HaBris. He wrote down the Book of the Covenant. What's the Sefer HaBris? Was from Bereishis till Matan Torah. And he wrote that and he gave that to the Jewish people. So where's that until? It's right until this point. So there was a book, right? The, so to speak, the first Megillah of the Torah went right up to here. This is the beginning of the Torah of Matan Torah. The Torah that, you know, from here on is part of the next record of what's given to Moshe Rabbeinu in the context and following on the giving of the Torah at Sinai. So it starts literally anew. B'chodesh HaShlishi. And this day they arrived at Midbar Sinai, which, as we said, the Gemara says, by the association, by the way it's expressed, this refers to Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Everybody agrees that they arrived at Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahor, and the Jewish people encamped there opposite the mountain. Everybody also agrees that nothing else happened on that day. The subsequent communications did not start till the next day. That day, they unpacked. Okay? They switched around their rooms, you know, whatever it was. Umaisha Allah El Ha'elekin. Then Maisha went up to Hashem, and Hashem called him from the mountain, and he said, Kaysem Levezak of Isaiah Israel, Atem Risa Mashar Sisil Mitzrayim, you saw what I did to Egypt, you saw me lift, I carried you on the wings of eagles, I brought you to me. Now you want to listen to my mitzvahs, you want to accept my covenant, you want to be my treasure from amongst the nations, and so on and so forth. So Moshe Rabbeinu has quite a proposal to make the Jewish people. He comes to them, and they say, "Kol asher dibra Hashem nasa," whatever Hashem said, we will do. And Moshe Rabbeinu brought the words back to Hashem. Okay. So Hashem comes to Moshe. Right. So this would have happened on the second day of the month. This was on the second of Sivan, which is okay, the second day of their time there. The next day, now that that's they have agreement in principle between the two of them, so Hashem says to Moshe, I'm going to come to the Jewish people, I'm going to come to you ba'ava onam, in the thick of the cloud, so people will hear me speak to you and they'll trust in you, right? And he says, go to the people, they should prepare, they should separate from their wives, right? They should wash their clothes, and they'll be prepared for the third day, because on the third day, Hashem will come down before the people on Har Sinai. Okay, so this is the third day of the time at Har Sinai. And Hashem says, you should be prepared for today, and for, you should be prepared, Hayom u'Mochar, today and tomorrow, because on the third day, they'll come down, Leini Kol al Har Sinai. And then he says, you should limit the people from going and touching the mountain, and so on and so forth. So Moshe Rabbeinu went down from the mountain, and he sanctified the people. So according to the Gemara, actually on the third day, he didn't come down and tell them the mitzvah of separation. It was right, because again, on the first day they arrived, he didn't say anything. On the second day, they had the proposal and they accepted the proposal. On the third day, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the third day of the process, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to stay off of the mountain. On the fifth day, he actually separated them. On the fifth day, he actually separated them, that they were there. So that's the way one of them learns, and the other one learns. Yeah. The first one was the Hagbala, the Abba of the Prisha. Right? The question is whether now, from the day that he separated them from their wives, which would be the fourth day that they're at Har Sinai, whether the fourth day would be day one of the three, the fifth day would be day two, and on the sixth day they would receive the Torah, or whether the fifth day would be day one, the sixth day would be day two, and on the seventh day they would receive the Torah. That's the difference of opinion between the two of them.
When the 3 days starts?
When do the 3 days start? And the Gemara says that Yom Echad Hayisif Moshe Midate. On one day Moshe Rabbeinu added on his own. Right? The Gemara says, it says, V'kidashtem hayom u'mocher, you'll sanctify today and tomorrow. So how could it be that it would only start the next day? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi said, Moshe Rabbeinu added one day on his own. Midate is from his own mind, from his own thinking. Why? Because we learned there are three things that Moshe Rabbeinu did on his own that Hashem agreed to, and one of them was that he separated from his wife. Another one was that he broke the luchas. And the first one, sequentially, was the fact that he added a day to Matan Torah. What did he do it based on? He says, well, because Hashem said to him, you will set aside today and tomorrow. Now, tomorrow, they would be setting aside the entire day, from sunset to sunset. Today, it was too late for that. So, therefore, it must be that today should be like tomorrow, sunset to sunset. And since today can't be like tomorrow, because you're already in the day, so therefore, it must be 2 days beyond today. So that's why he actually started counting the next day, which would lead them to get the Torah on the 7th rather than on the 6th. How do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with him? Because Hashem didn't come to speak to the Jewish people with Matan Torah until the 7th day. That's a pretty good sign. So that's how we know that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam agreed with Moshe Rabbeinu's Cheshbon. Okay, That's the Gemara. So the Maral is here to discuss a little bit of this sequence, and you know there's some elements of it which we won't as much dwell on. But let's go to his discussion. He has some detailed discussion in the beginning about the various pieces, Prisha versus Hagbalah, what came first. But he says, Rabbi Yossi says that Moshe Rabbeinu added a day midatoi. He added a day from his own thinking. He says, what does this mean, that he added a day midatoi? The Gemara over here gives a rationale for how Moshe Rabbeinu read Hashem's words as to why he did it. So was this Moshe Rabbeinu just acting on his own? Or this is Moshe Rabbeinu trying to understand what Hashem means and coming to the conclusion that this is indeed what Hashem meant. And if that's the case, why should we call it midatei? Why should we call it him doing it on his own? And the Maral says that's not a kasha. And the reason why it's not a kasha is because we have to understand that when we speak about midatai, when we speak about doing it from your mind, that's not the same thing as saying that you made it up. There's a principle, there's a category in discussion of the Torah which is called divrei seifrim. Divrei Seifrim. Divrei Seifrim are the words of the Seifrim. Seifrim are scribes, right? When we say Seifrim, usually we're referring, in our vernacular, we're talking about the person who checks your tefillin, right? A literal scribe. But in the language of Chazal, the Talmidei Chachamim of old were called Seifrim. L'fikach nikru rishonim Seifrim shehayu Seifrim kol ha'isur shebetorah. The Gemara explains they literally counted every letter of the Torah. They were reading the Torah bediktuk gadol with great precision and making drushes from extra letters and words. And we call teachers of children to be seifrim. There are so many reasons why that term is used in many ways, but the seifrim is the term for the chachamim. And we say, we have a term called divrei seifrim. Now sometimes divrei seifrim refer to innovations of the chachamim, creative legislation of the Rabbanon, where they had to come up and say something of their own. But many times as well, Divrei Seifrim refer to things that the Chachamim extrapolated from the texts of the Torah that have a din of being D'oraisa. The classic example of this is Kiddushei Kesef, Kiddushin with money. Right? The Gemara many times talks about situations where it was possible that the Chachamim came along and afkinu Rabbanon l'kiddushei minei. The Rabbanon, under certain circumstances, basically, what's the term which is used? They annulled the marriage which the person had. They were mafkia the kiddushin that the person had made a person married a woman, but now under these circumstances, say there was never such a marriage. You find that in the Gemara many places, in several places, and the Gemara always follows up with the following question. So it's more Tenach, the Kaddish Bekaspa. I can understand if he married her using money, but if he marries her using bia, using intimate relations, what are you going to say there? Because those are two different ways of using kiddush. We do kiddushin with kesef, with a ring, which is worth money. But it's ha'isha miskadeshes, right? Ha'isha niknis b'shleisha drachim. A woman could be married with three different ways. And says, more bia, what are you going to do with that? And so what's the Gemara's kasha? What's the Gemara's give and take? So one way to understand the Gemara's give and take is that, look, if you annul a marriage of kesef, big deal. So you say, okay, we'll give you the money anyway. You can have it as a present. Right? But what are you going to do with the bia if you annul the marriage? Right? What are you going to do with the act of intimacy? What are you going to do with that? You have nowhere to put it in a way which is proper. The Gemara says, they made it into a biasnus. You're right. They had nowhere to put it. They made it just like they were together out of wedlock and finished. But Rashi there brings a pshat which raises a lot of objections even within Rashi, which is that they says that, look, kesef, the fact that a person's mekadesh, a woman, can marry a woman with bia, is basically explicit in the Torah, because the pasuk says ki yigach ish isha uva'ala, a man will take a woman and he'll be intimate with her. So we'd understand that somehow intimacy could be part of the process of marrying a woman. That's where we learn it at. However, how do you know that you could be mekadesh a woman by giving her money? So the Gemara says, well, it says ki yikach ish isha. It uses the term kicha for marrying a woman, and it also says it says sades by kesef yiknu, right? And it says by it nasati kesef asada kach mimeni. It says by buying a field, by buying real estate, where Avraham Avinu bought a field from Ephraim. So it says nasati kesef asada kach mimeni. Uses the term kicha, and it's talking about money. So therefore, we learn out kicha kicha mistei Ephraim, right? The same way you buy a burial plot is the same way you can get married. Okay, no jokes, please. My father once bumped into Maurice Lamb or Norman Lamb, and at a shiva house, and he wrote two books, which are classics. One of them is The Jewish Way in Death and Mourning. And the other way is the Jewish way in love and marriage. So my father said, "Kicha kicha mistei Ephraim." So we learn out the two of them from each other. So the thing is that we say over there it was a real estate transaction which was done with kesef. So here also can be done with kesef. It's not explicit in the Torah. So therefore, basically, the way some understood it, as Rashi brings, is that Kiddushe Kesef, the Rabbanon can control, because it's Drabbanon, because their sages made it up. But Kiddushe Bia, which the Torah says, they can't control that. How could they veto, therefore, a Kiddushin which is done with Bia? And that's a big problem, because there's no question, it seems, that we treat a woman who's married with Kesef as a Kiddushin D'Oraisa. She's married according to the Torah. It's not like Kiddushe Ketana. It's not like when they establish such a thing of marrying off a minor who doesn't have a father, where the whole nature of the marriage is different. It's a whole thing is a tentative marriage, and it could be vetoed, and so on. But Kiddushe Kesef is ironclad. It's the classic practiced method of Kiddushin. Rav Mangid Avand Mekadesh Bebi, a person who was Mekadesh a woman using the method of intimacy, Rav would give him Malkus. He considered it to be functionally inappropriate. So what's going on over here? So it's, you know, this is what everyone sees over there. That no, you have to remember the terminology. And it's a terminology which is established clearly by the Rambam in his introduction to the Sefer HaMitzvahs, where he speaks of what's called a mitzvah min atayr, what's called a mitzvah min derabbanan. And there's a terminology called divrei seifrim, which is there are things that you would know because you open up the Chumash and you read them there. And there are things that you know because the Chachamim opened up the Chumash. And the Chachamim analyzed the Chumash. And the Chachamim extracted this from the Chumash. But it's not explicit. So is it not part of the Torah's intent? Is it not a din d'oraisa? No, it certainly is a din d'oraisa. It's what the Torah was trying to teach us. It's what the Torah was trying to tell us. However, it took the Seifrim to be able to bring it out for us. And therefore, it's in the status of Divrei Seifrim. And there are areas in Halacha where we consider these things to be different. For example, the Ran says in Adarim that there's a din of neder not being chal on a dvar mitzvah, and you can't make a neder on something which is already a mitzvah in the Torah, and they make a distinction over there between something which is explicit in the Torah and something which the Chachamim had to explain to us. The Chachamim had to draw out from the Midei Shatar and Nidreshes Ben, or whatever it is. Even though they're both D'oraisa, they both consider them as Torah commandments. But one requires the Chachamim to bring it out. So, says the Maharal, when we say here that Moshe Rabbeinu Hasif Yom Echad Midatai, it's not that Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm going to make this up. Moshe Rabbeinu was analyzing the Pasuk before it was a Pasuk. He was analyzing the words which HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him. And he says, what does Hashem really mean? And Moshe Rabbeinu figured out what Hashem meant. Hashem didn't say it explicitly. Hashem said, Hayom U'Machar. In fact, it's, you know, to me, after all is said and done, it remains one of the most difficult of drushes. Because, you know, Hayom means today. You could say, well, Hayom has to be like Machar, that Machar is 24 hours, Hayom has to be 24 hours, and how's today going to be 24 hours? That's pretty serious. But on the other hand, Hayom meaning today is also pretty serious. Right? So you whatever it is, Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, this is more compelling. And therefore, Hayom is going to be the next day, right? The upcoming day. This day that's going to begin tonight. That's what Hayom means. But it's certainly not the explicit statement of Hashem. It's, look at it, chew it over, and you get it. So in that sense, however, it could still be called Midatai. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu was just sitting there with a blank expression, with a mind that was just there taking things in, he would have just taken it literally and finished. And would have been Hayyam U'Machar. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was engaged, was involved in the process, and Moshe Rabbeinu was thinking about what Hashem said, and therefore really trying to get to it, so in that thinking process of his own, it produced a different result. In that thinking process of his own, it produced a different result. So some of you were with us for the Be'er HaGoyla, right? The Maharal speaks about this in the first Be'er, where it speaks about Chavivin Divrei Seifrim Yeser Midivrei Torah. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Chadashim Gam Yeshanim Doidi Tzavanti Lach. So the Hashem loves the words of the Seifrim more than the words of the Torah itself. And the Maharal over there has a significant discussion about this idea, about when you're not just passive doing what Hashem tells you exactly, but you're adding and you're thinking and you're moving. So then that shows a level of engagement, which is even called Ava, right? That is fit for the term Doidi, my beloved, Safantilach. That is used over here. So that's Midatai. That's what it means. It's not Moshe Rabbeinu completely acting on his own. Yeah.
So if you, the rabbi, the person gives us Kesed is the way to acquire a light, and Moshe tells us that it's 3 days of separation, why do people in Israel celebrate Shavuos on the 6th and not the 7th?
Okay, so we have to deal with the fact that we also, our seventh isn't also Rani. Our seventh is just Yom Tov Sheni. And our main emphasis is on the sixth. So we have to understand why we keep the Torah, why we celebrate Matan Torah on the sixth day. We're going to get to that. We'll get to that. So the again, Midatai doesn't mean his own creative thing. Midatai is in the same spirit as Divrei Seifrim. However, what we're left with is that over here, we have this additional thing of Hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Yodai. Hashem agreed with him, and says, "Well, this is what took this beyond other Divrei Seifrim. Divrei Seifrim." Normally, they remain the Chachamim's reading of the Torah, and they're telling you, we believe this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and we keep it as Divrei Torah, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. But here it doubled back, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, yes, indeed. He clearly gave his approval to this interpretation of Moshe Rabbeinu of the Chachamim. So this is the way this works, and this is what's unique about this, that he did it midatai, but hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu al yadai. So the question is, though, if that's the case, why, says the Maharal, why should it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't just come right out and tell this to Moshe Rabbeinu directly? Says the Maharal, Hefresh yesh bein hadvarim shenitzav Moshe pi Hashem yisbarach hu vein elu dvarim shehiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu al yadai. There's a difference between the things that Hashem instructed Moshe Rabbeinu directly and these things that Hashem agreed with him. He shared dvarim hem bo min Hashem yisbarach b'kayach zeresh shenitzav alav b'tzivui. Other things, they're coming to us because Hashem commanded us. It's considered coming from above. But these things didn't come from the gzeirah of Hashem. They came from Hashem saying it, from us taking it, and from them HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, yes, indeed, makes sense. But you're doing it because of your understanding of what I said, not simply because I just said it to you directly. This is the difference. And the Maharal, at this point, leaves it at that. They're both Divrei Hashem. This wouldn't be in the status anymore of just Divrei Seferim, because we see that Hashem explicitly came back and agreed with it. But on the other hand, it's not Gzeiras Hashem. To a great degree, it was our act. It was what Moshe Rabbeinu did in order to be able to do it. Now, why should that be? Why should that be different? Why should that be different? Yeah.
So it's like a little bit like lechem, right?
Yeah.
A little bit like lechem, because that's our highest bracha. It's what we take and process the wheat, and we process it into bread. So we're a part and parcel act of it.
Lechu lechmu belachmi ushasu yein mischasi. I think that's the way it's pronounced. The metaphor of learning is bread and wine. What's unique about bread and wine? They have special brachas, right? You don't make a bayir priya adama on bread, and you don't make a bayir priya eitz on wine. Why? Because nishtanu le'iluya, ishtanu le'iluya. They have been processed, and in that way enhanced. Right? The bread, you took the grain and you made it into something. I'm not talking about bread versus mezainis. Both of them have a special bracha, and the grapes have been turned into wine, and it's considered a fundamental change through your actions. And that's a big deal when it comes to the Torah. And what we're going to do here is we're going to talk about this a little bit more. The Maharal does not dwell on this extensively here, but we're going to talk about, I'd like to talk to you about this point a little bit more, which is what many of the other Sforim have written about in connection with these ideas. Yes?
That's only connection with Moshe Rabbeinu, or could be any Divrei Chazal?
Any Divrei Chazal are our processing of the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes Chazal are going beyond. Sometimes Chazal are making gezeiros, where they're not trying to say we're interpreting what Hashem said as meaning this. But when Chazal are interpreting what Hashem said as meaning this, it's the same thing, except that when Moshe Rabbeinu did these specific three things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly expressed his approval of the drasha, which we don't usually have with Divrei Chazal. A clear, targeted approval, that vort, which you said, that understanding of the pasuk is correct. We go by the rule. We're supposed to listen to what the Chachamim say, and it remains the words of the Chachamim in interpretation of the Torah without an explicit imprimatur from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this process is very significant. So, you know, I'll tell you where where if you want to find a lot of good Torah about this subject, the place to look is in Hakdamas, in introductions to Svarim, to Sifrei Halacha especially. Introductions to Sifrei Halacha, which were written by people who were Balei Machshava, you'll find fantastic Torah on this subject, consistently. Why? Because that's what they're involved in. They're involved in the process of trying to derive the Torah. They finish writing a volume. You know, everybody, you write an introduction when you're finished. Right, that's always the way it works. It's the last thing that you do, right? So you know, they've just been involved in a process of serious halachic analysis, which involves many chidushim, many novelae, and all kinds of things extracted, derived. And so here they really note the significance of that process. I want to tell you a beautiful vort from Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, who writes about this theme in the introduction to several of his volumes of tshuvas. He wrote many different tshuvas for him, sections of, Be'er Yitzchak, Ein Yitzchak, all kinds of svarim. And he writes about this idea, and I'll tell you a vort which he says, a beautiful vort, where it says as follows: Ki lekach tov nasati lachem, tayrasi al tazevu. I've given you a good lekach. I've given you a good purchase. Don't abandon my Torah. So the Gemara says, Hashem is different than a regular person. A regular person, when a person sells something, okay, and you have to remember that the Talmudic model of commerce in those days, the model of commerce was not like now, where the quicker, right, you buy the thing and the quicker you can flip it and unload it, the better a businessman you are, right? It's ideal if you don't even ever have to take delivery of the thing, right? You just get it straight from the guy who you bought it from to the guy who you're selling it to. But in the Gemara, when it talks about commerce, it's talking about selling something which you actually value as a commodity. The Gemara constantly speaks about the idea that it's better to have the commodity than to have the money, right? So you don't necessarily even want to sell it. So the Gemara says the normal path is when a person sells something, so the lekech is sameach, the purchaser is happy, and the seller is sad. But when it came to the Torah, the seller was happy. Not only was the buyer happy, but the seller was happy too. You see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, it's a good item, hold on to it, take care of it well. Right? It implies a happiness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the sale. The Torah is certainly a personal effect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we can understand it. If a person has to sell their house, there's a certain difficulty. A person has to sell their jewelry, their candlesticks, whatever it is, there's a reticence. But Hashem seemed to be very pleased to see it go into the hands of the Jewish people. That's the Gemara. So Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan asks the obvious question on the Gemara. He says, I don't understand what you're talking about. If a person sells their house or sells their watch or sells their candlestick, they don't have it anymore. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to the Jewish people, he lost it? You sit here today, I give you a shear. So now, I can't believe it. I gave you the shear. Right now, I have it and you have it. Right? We all have it together. It's ner le'echad, ner le'me'ah. You don't lose anything. So of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't upset. Said Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, no, you got it wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did give away the Torah. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo b'shamayim. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to us, and he said, I want you to sit and be the Seferim who analyze the Torah and who try to figure out what it means and what it says. And you know what happens? When you figure out what it means and what it says, that's what it means and what it says. It's a famous Gemara, where the Gemara tells the story of Tanurei Shalachnoi, of that oven, where with Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus and the Chachamim, they had an argument about its halachic status. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus brought all these miraculous proofs that he was correct. Right? The river changed direction, the carob tree picked itself up and jumped, several distances, the walls of the Beis Medrash started caving in. A heavenly voice came out and said, what are you bothering? Rabbi Eliezer is right. And Rabbi Yeshua stood up on his feet and said, Lei b'shamayimi. He says, what are Talmid HaChacham arguing? You stay out of this. It's ours to decide. What does that mean? That means that when Hashem gave us the Torah, he gave over to us the ability and the power to understand the Torah and to say that the Torah is as we understand it. That's where it is now. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu did give away the Torah.
Bailus.
Ownership of the Torah. He gave away the Torah. And that's the kunz, that even though he gave away the ownership of the Torah, and he said, it's in your hands, he's still happy. That is unique. That's the simcha that's there. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu left it for Moshe Rabbeinu, and wasn't geyser it, You understand, that's part of this. That's part of this giving over of the power to Moshe Rabbeinu. He could have told Moshe Rabbeinu, look, I'll be there on Shabbos. Right? Cut out any ambiguity. Be very straightforward. But then Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have been claiming any ownership, claiming any handle on that instruction or on that or on what was happening there. It would have been completely just dictated by Hashem, given by Hashem. When Hashem, however, says it the way he says it, and it's left to Moshe Rabbeinu to do it, and then Hashem comes back and says, that's it, you're right. Then what we have in this event is the giving over, not just of the words of the Torah, but over the ownership, so to speak, of the words of the Torah. It's made us active participants in the process. It made it from Amira into Dibur, right? Amira, which is sort of like a one-way communication. Dibur, which is more of a conversation, of an interactive. And now, and when Hashem approves of it, and he goes by it, and he says, okay, I'm going to come on that day, that's the ultimate. That's the ultimate approval of the fact that that this is the way the process is to be. That we're not supposed to be just passive listeners, but we're supposed to be actively engaged in Kabbalah Satara. So that happens on this halacha, of all halachas, is certainly significant. That this happens on this halacha of all halachas, on the actual giving of the Torah, the date of the granting of the Torah, because this is part and parcel of Matan Torah. And so, the Welt says, many say, Asher Chachma says, others say, excuse me for one second,
one of the other core issues which we have here, which is the date of Shavuos.
The date of Shavuos. This is not what the Maharal says, but this is what others say regarding the date of Shavuos. Yom Chamishim L'Sfira Asayim Ruchag Shavuos. The 50th day of Sfira is the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Writes the Magen Avraham, Siman Tov Tzadi Dalet in Erechayim. Koshali, Heichanu Aymen B'Shavuos Yom Matan Torah Seinu. How do we say on Shavuos it's the day of the gift of the Torah? Halakayim Olin Krav Yosi Damar B'Zayin B'Sivan Nitna Torah. We pass like Krav Yosi that on the 7th of Sivan the Torah was given. How do we know we paskin like that? Because the Gemara actually in Shabbos ties in this machlokes to the question as to how long shichvas zera, how long the seminal discharge of a man is considered to be still having the status of it. It's not considered to be expired. Because remember, this is what ends up being a question of how long they had to separate from their wives. It's not just a nuance of what Hashem meant by Hayem u'mochar. But there would be a reason for it, because it's the days of separation. How long do they have to separate? And the idea is because they have to go to the mikveh after having had relations, but if they subsequently had a discharge of what came into them in the time of relations, that would require them to be going to the mikveh again and be back to the drawing board. So it would only make sense for them to go to the mikveh when whatever relations they had, even if there was some discharge, it would be considered at that point like water, it would be considered like nothing, that would have gone. And that has halachic ramifications to this day. Right? This is the same reason why a woman has to wait before, if a woman becomes a nida, and it's not a 4-day flow or a 5-day flow, but it's just a very, very brief flow, she still has to wait, usually 5 days, till she can count the 7 clean days. Why? It's because of this same issue. Because, if she was with her husband before, a seminal discharge would ruin the clean day, and it may not be noticed. So we say you have to wait for whatever such discharge would be to be expired. And we paskin, like the more expanded shita, which is in line with Rav Yaisi, who says that as a result of that, they had to wait the 3 full days, basically, which was pushing Tyra to the 7th of Sivan. Yet we celebrate Shavuos Uladidan la'olam shavuos bevav b'sivan. For us, Shavuos is always on the 6th of Sivan. Uvemes haramam perakei melechus aves hatuma pasak dein tzarech lufresh rach gimelayin es v'kosav kesem shigus haramam v'arashba chavis yirul gimelayin es pasak avasayu. He says, we came in again with the Rambam. Maybe it's because the Rambam argues with this and we're paskin like the Rambam. And when we paskin in Yeridea, halacha l'maisa like Rav Yaisi, we're just being machmer. Right? So it could be that it's according to that. That's what the Magen Avraham says. But really, we would paskin not like Rav Yaisi. Umasha kasha oid. And the further problem, that Torah nitna b'yayim nun aleph l'svira. What we mentioned before, which is another issue the Maral is going to deal with, is the Torah was given actually on the 51st day of Sfira. Why? Because they left Mitzrayim on Thursday, and the Torah was given on a Shabbos. So kvar tirtzu hayesh meforshim debo lirmoiz lanu yam tov sheni shel galius. Some say that it's coming to hint to the whole notion of yam tov sheni shel galius. Ve'efshar dehainu dekamar yom echad hayisiv meisha midatei. It's possible, he says, that this is actually coming to hint to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu added a day midatay. Vein kan mekayim. Says Magaram, this isn't the place to talk about this. What does this mean? What does Magen Avraham mean here? So many Sforim say that the idea is that he's saying like this. When was the Torah given? What's Matan Torah?
Yom Kippur.
So you could say that, what?
Yom Kippur.
Well, okay. When was the Torah given the first time around? So one way to imagine the Torah was given on the day that Hashem came and said, "Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Yetzeitcha Me'eretz Mitzrayim," and the day of the Aseres Hadibus, which was on the 7th of Sivan. But is that called giving of the Torah, or is that called saying the words? Right? Think again of Rav Yitzchok Elchanan's model. To say the words, Hashem doesn't lose anything. When does Hashem lose something? When he gives over the bialus, the ownership, the ability of interpretation. That was demonstrated on the 6th of Sivan, on Erev Shabbos. Because if Hashem was completely, you know, the one, then Hashem comes on the 6th of Sivan. But Hashem presented it as if he was coming on the 6th of Sivan. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, it's not the 6th, it's the 7th. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're right. So it was actually on Erev Shabbos that the Jewish people took ownership of the Torah. And what we celebrate is not the words, but we celebrate the ownership.
So wouldn't it be on the 3rd then of Sivan? Because that's when Moshe decided.
When it was seen was in the fact of Hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Yadai. When Hashem shows consent to Moshe Rabbeinu's interpretation is when he doesn't show up on Friday, and that's when it's not just Moshe Rabbeinu presuming it, but that was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was masking all the other. That's what he says, that it's that Shavuos is the anniversary of that ownership which we took, and I think that's a beautiful and magnificent idea. Now, the Maral is going to give us a different approach and a different angle to this, which we'll talk about momentarily.
If I may add, just once for Tori, ask why you call it Zman Matan Torah saying instead of Kabbalah Satorah, which is actually our action.
Mm-hmm.
It should be the amount of what we did was we were a Kabbalah Torah. According to this, really, the celebrating that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave it
over to us. Correct.
Torah,
right.
Not the Kabbalah Satorah.
Correct.
You're saying that according to that interpretation, then the bialos was given over the day before. So here I'm going to give it. I'm giving you the keys to the house, and now I'm going to present what the house is.
Right. That kind of a thing. There was a serious gift that we actually received on the 6th of Sivan. It's a serious gift that we actually received on the 6th of Sivan.
That's like saying we have ownership for whether it was 1 hour, 12 hours, or 24 hours. Of ownership without knowing what it was we really had in our hands.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I would note just also that one thing which many say, which is l'chaira, the most basic answer to the Magen Avraham's first kasha, is that Shavuos isn't on the 6th of Sivan. It's not. It's on the 50th of the Omer. The Torah never says that Shavuos is on the 6th of Sivan. Rosh Hashanah is on the 1st of Tishrei. Nisan is on Pesach is on the 15th of Nisan, and Sukkot is on the 15th of Tishrei, and Yom Kippur is on the 10th of Tishrei. But Shavuos, it doesn't say it's on the 6th day of Sivan. The Torah says it's 50 days to the Omer. That's when Shavuos is. So if then there was, the 6th of Sivan was whenever it was, depending on how the months fall out, if you can have full months, you can have months of 30 days or 29 days. So then that will be what we'll figure out. But for us, the date that the Torah gives is the 50th day of the Omer. In fact, it's a famous thing that the Sam Sofer asked, why do we keep 2 days, Sveika di Omer and Shavuos? Right? If it's the 50th day of the Omer, it doesn't really matter what day of Nisan it is, so of Sivan it is. So we already know from Shavuos, and the Chassam Sefer says the only reason why we keep 2 days of Shavuos is because of consistency, because we keep it for all the other Yomim Tovim, so we keep it for Shavuos too. But it didn't really matter. They didn't have to know what day Rosh Chodesh Sivan was to know when Shavuos was, because the Torah doesn't say Shavuos has to be on a particular day of Sivan. It has to be on the 50th day from Pesach. So then you have part two, which is that over there it was actually the 51st day. It was actually the first 51st day. But the Torah clearly says the event of Matan Torah. Magen Avraham has two questions. One question was the event of Matan Torah was not on the day of the 6th of Sivan that we say, and the second one is that it was on the 51st of the Omer, as opposed to the 50th of the Omer. So regarding the 6th of Sivan, 7th of Sivan, many would say that that's irrelevant. Again, that's not the anniversary that we're looking for here. We're looking for the 50th of the Omer. But what about this thing of the 50th and the 51st? So what we've said here is already the beginning, one aspect of a pshat. And Maral himself says a different approach. And Maral says as follows. He says the 50th day, as we discussed before, was Royal Hatayra. It's the Madrega, it's the 50th gate, it's that which is elusive, which is specifically for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, that's Mitzad Hashem Yizborach Asher Hu HaNoisein. That's Hashem the giver. On the 50th day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is agreeing to give us over the Taira. However, there's another day, for the actual delivery of the Torah, it requires a day for itself. Says the Maharal, Yom Chamishim was the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually delivered. We can compare this to a king who agreed, who chose to give a Torah, to give a gift to one to a good friend. Haritzu yazeh uzman bifnei atzmei, the day that he decides to give the gift is one day. Lagat hamaton elayev, and the actual delivery of the gift could be its own day. Ulufika chashiyem chamishim uyem sheroyel atayra, even on the 50th day is the day which is suitable for the Torah, mikol mokim tzarech oid yem echad elagat hatayra lamekabel shudavra bifnei atzmei. To get the Torah to us, to the ones who receive it, that's something for itself. Now this is a very interesting idea that the Maharal is saying here. It's in a certain way, you can mix it together with what we spoke about before, but it's a very different division. Very different division. Before we talked about the idea that there's a difference between when Hashem actually gives us ownership of it and when He actually delivers the words of the Torah. Gives the keys as opposed to actually or gives the deed as opposed to giving the keys, maybe we would say that would be the metaphor. Over here the Maral is speaking about the day which is suitable for Torah per se by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. 50, the Chamishim, the way beyond is, that's really the day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore of the Torah that is completely with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we always, to some degree, are removed from that. We're removed from that. But to Chasreyu Me'at Me'elikim, even to Moshe Rabbeinu, there was something missing from what would be by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what would be for us. One of the concepts which the Maral has taught us time and time again is that as much as Matan Torah is to bring it down here, and the idea of finding the Torah, a nose, finding the Torah, something down here in a material and physical world that can carry, that can bear, that can hold the Torah. But at the same time, to some degree, it's still the Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kudshu Brichu V'Yeraisa Chadhu, and there's some gap and something unnatural about our having the Torah. And even with Moshe Rabbeinu, who's as good as it gets, there's still something of a gap. And so, to some degree, there's a separation from the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, this is the day of Torah. The Chamishim of Sfira is the day of Torah. But on the other hand, for us, we're going to have to wait a little for the delivery of that Torah. We're going to wait a little bit for the delivery of that Torah. And so he says, according to everybody, whether you hold it was the 6th of Sivan or the 7th of Sivan, according to everybody, the Torah was given on Nun Aleph, on the 51st day of Sfira. And this is how he explains what you were speaking about before, which is the way others explain, like you said, that Matan Torah is giving over the ownership as opposed to Kabbalah. What he says is, we call it Zman Matan Torah Seinu, is because the truth is we didn't get it. Hashem agreed to give it to us on the 50th, but we didn't actually receive it until the 51st. We really didn't actually receive it until the 51st. So now we understand that to some degree, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'kidashtem hayayim u'machar, and there's an ambiguity in hayayim u'machar. It could mean the third day from now, or it could mean the fourth day from now. The truth is, Elu ve'elu, they're both true. In a certain sense, one day is the 50th, and one day is the 51st. Right? One day is the day when we have some connection to the Torah, some ownership of the Torah, and one day is the day when we don't. And certainly you understand that if on that day we couldn't actually receive the Torah, why couldn't we actually receive the Torah? Because we still had some of the Tumah of the Shechva Zerah. There's still some trace of humanity that's there. You know, I don't know, it's just, Adam Rao doesn't write about this, but it seems like this is the echoes of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could decide that the Torah is for us, but we're not quite ready. We're not quite ready. Remember when Moshe Rabbeinu had this thing with Miriam and Aaron, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to them quickly in a rush, right? So what was it? What was it? Because Miriam and Aaron weren't ready. They weren't ready because they weren't separated from their wives. So they weren't ready. Moshe Rabbeinu was always ready, right? From this point on, Moshe Rabbeinu was always ready, right? He was separated from normal human things. So he was always ready. But for the rest of us, just because Hashem is ready to give us the Torah, it doesn't mean that we're ready to receive it. We still have to have a little bit more of a wait. We still have to have a little bit more of a preparation. It can be rushed to us. That's all part of this idea of, you know, the gap between that of the Torah, which is by Hashem, and the work that is involved in making it have a home down here with us. Yes.
Using the metaphor again of what we said about buying a house, even in our day and time, we usually have a settlement. We sign papers and we exchange monies, and that's on one day. And it's pretty rare that a person is given the keys and you run down the street and open the door up and there you are. And the movers are waiting also. Usually you sign papers and do the settlement, and then it's the next day, a week, a month later, when you finally get to actually move in and live there. So over here it could be that it builds our anticipation. You're more excited about moving in when you had a chance to contemplate it.
Good. Good. We'll have to then figure out how the what the Torah equivalent is to the real estate riches seminar. Okay. It probably wouldn't take much to figure out a parallel. So that's some of that. And let's just and the Maral goes on and he says they're just, we're gonna quickly touch two other points which he talks about here in this parak. One of them is that everybody agrees that on Shabbos the Torah was given to the Jewish people. Right? This is one thing which is unambiguous. Everybody agrees but Shabbos didn't the Torah. What's the idea? Right? We say every Shabbos Shachris, the Shabbos Shachris Shmonesei corresponds to the Shabbos of Matan Torah. Yitzmach Moshe b'matnas Chelkai, and it's the Shabbos of Matan Torah. What's the significance of it? So he says, look, number one, Shabbos is Kihi Makar HaBracha. We say it's the source of all blessing which comes from above, down below. Right? What's the ultimate blessing which came from above, down below? Is the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought down in HaShemayim. Shabbos is a day when we're not engaged in the physical toil of the world. Instead, it's a day which is Mekudash, it's sanctified for the spiritual toil of the world. So, of course, that would be the day for the Torah to arrive here, for us to be able to be involved in that. Right? If it would be in an Erev Shabbos, we would still be very much involved in the physical activity. We weren't quite ready for the Torah. And finally, Shabbos is the completion of creation. And Torah, in its own sense as well, is the completion of creation. So just to double back for a moment to what someone asked, I think, Baruch Yom HaShishi, Ayerev Ayvaker Yom HaShishi, we're even going Yom HaShishi, the sixth day, and we compare that to the sixth day of Sivan, right? And that's, of course, this is Yom HaShishi is the Friday. Yom HaShishi is the Friday. And yet the day of Torah is the Shabbos, is the Shvi. But we understand that it's just, you know, with the completion of the sixth day, it's between the sixth day and the seventh day. The sixth day is the 50th. It is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's day. So these different thoughts which we have about whether what I told you based on the school of thought of Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, which again is said by many others, by Meir Simcha, by others, or whether how the Maharal's expressing it, which is that it's the day when of Torah, the 50th is the day of Torah, but the day of bringing it down to this earth and to complete this earth waits till Shabbos. So Shabbos, the day when we're not engaged so much in the physical things, and instead we're engaged in the spiritual. The one last point which the Maharal discusses here, really, in this perek, is the fact that the Torah doesn't speak about Shavuos as being Zman Matan Torah Seh. The Torah never identifies this Yom Tov that we have on the 50th day of the Omer as the day of the giving of the Torah. Why not? So the Maharal says a notion which is found in its own form, interestingly, in a very almost ironically opposite way in Rashi, in the Gemara. Right? The Gemara says, on Shavuos, Batzeres kulei alma maida debayina nami lachem. Everybody agrees on Shavuos, you have to have a feast. What's the reason? Right? Pesach, there could be an argument if on a regular day of Yom Tov you have to have a feast, or you could maybe just completely be spiritually practicing the Yom Tov. You know, Sukkot, but Shavuos, everybody agrees that you have to have a feast. Why? Because it's the day that the Torah was given. Right? What does that mean? So we've discussed it before from different angles. Rashi says, I've told you before, Rashi says, what's the idea? He says, because Pesach is an unambiguous celebration. We were slaves, backbreaking labor, tortured, persecuted minority in Mitzrayim, and Hashem freed us. You happy? Of course you're happy. You're not eating, you're not feasting, everybody knows you're happy. Sukkot, HaKadosh Baruch, we talk about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us for all that time there in the Midbar, surrounded us by the clouds of His glory, fed us, you know, clothed us, everything, food, shelter. Is there any ambiguity about that? That was a good thing? Of course it was a good thing. You're not feasting? Okay, fine. Shavuos, you know what happened? Shavuos, we went from 7 to 613 in 2 seconds. Right? We got 606, or whatever, we can debate the count. But we got many, 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 many new mitzvahs and obligations. Hey, what do you say, guys? So you know, a lot of people say it's shver tzayim ayid. You know, it's hard to be a Jew. You know, if I wouldn't be Jewish, then you know, I could stop at any place and have something to eat. If I wouldn't be Jewish, I wouldn't have to worry about Shabbos for my job and everything else, right?
Even then, they didn't try.
Huh?
Even then, when they came.
Right. Home. Afterwards, by the Egel, they were crying al iskei mishpachaisam on different things which became usher to them. And that's, of course, what does us in. So there's an ambiguity. Is it a day of celebration or not? Says Rashi, that's why you better have a feast. Because you have to show that you're celebrating Matan Torah. That you realize that's not Shver Tzayin Ayid. You're showing that Ashreinu Matev Cholkeinu, Umanoim Garoleinu, Mayafi Yerushalayinu. How fortunate we are, how lucky we are. How fortunate we are that we are Mashkimim Umarivim, that we wake up early every day, that there's no such thing as just sleeping, you know? Huh?
We say Shlomo Sani Koi, Shlomo Sani Oder, Shlomo Sani Yisha. Why? One reason would be because we have more mitzvot than those categories.
Right. That's it. That's what they say. It's all upgrading. I was at a Sheva Brachas recently, and the Chassan and Kala had the same birthday. So someone who was speaking rather humorously was speaking about the challenges of a husband and wife having the same birthday, the advantages and the challenges. I said one of the challenges would be who gets whom breakfast in bed on their birthday. He says, but you know, it's a good thing. You're from Jews. For from Jews, there's no such thing as breakfast in bed, right? You got to get up, wash the tefillah, you got to daven first. You know, so what? You're going to go back into bed to have breakfast? You know, like what's the thing, right? Ashreinu matayv chokeinu, right? That's what we say every morning. Ashreinu matayv chokeinu, Ashreinu shanachnu maskim mariva, right? You get home, you know, finish work, nice summer day, you know, relax. No, you still got to go out for marav. Right? Yeah. No. Ashreinu shanachnu maskim mariva. Right? So it's ambiguous. So therefore, you better celebrate, and that way you show that you're happy with this. That's why you have to have a feast. That's, I think, how Rashi learns. Maral says, very interesting, ironically interesting, he says, there are two Yamim Tovim that the Torah doesn't tell us explicitly what they are. Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah. What do Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah have in common? They both have in common that they're tough. Shavuos is the day when Hashem gives us a lot of mitzvahs. Rosh Hashanah is the day when Hashem judges us about our performance of mitzvahs. So therefore, for the Torah to say, oh, in the parsha of Yomim Tovim of celebratory days, let me tell you, this was the day that we had this, that we have that. So the Torah doesn't say that, because the Torah only accents the point of celebration. And the point of celebration is Yom HaBikurim. The mitzvahs do remind us of an oil, of a responsibility which we have. It doesn't perhaps go together necessarily with the feast. That's what the Maral says. Rosh Hashanah? What does the Torah tell us? It says about Zichrein Trua. Right? Because our positive thing is that we're able to sound the shofar and remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of who we are and Avram Avinu and the Akedah and everything else. The Torah has to accent in the Parsha of Mo'adim, it has to accent the positive. He says, oh, we said Nasev and Ishma, right? We accepted the Torah. But on the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kaifa HaRaleim, Shikab LaTorah Bal Karcham, Meshi Elaleim. Hashem also held the mountain over our heads. He didn't satisfy ourselves with us just saying, dreamy, this is great, this is fantastic. He wanted us to know that it was going to be also a responsibility. Kaf HaLeim HaKagigis tells us that, you know, it's not just a fair weather, wonderful thing. It's that, like it or not, the Torah is something that you have to keep. So there is that element, there is that aspect. And that aspect doesn't seem to fit exactly with it being a day of a festival. And so that's not the aspect which the Torah delineates specifically in this. I struggle with this Maral, right? It was, to me, what seems still overwhelming, you know, the overwhelming joy of the Kabbalah HaTorah. But maybe it's because I don't recognize enough the intensity of the responsibility that's there. It's a mixed thing. The intensity of the responsibility is a very, very serious thing. It's like when HaKadosh Baruch, when the Jewish people said, Hashem, please come within us, come in our midst, come in our midst, come in our midst. Hashem said, look, you know, if I come in your midst, there are consequences to that. It sounds very nice, but Rega Echad Ela B'Kirbucha V'Chili Sicha could blow you up in a second. So there's a duality. And in the parsha of festivity, we don't express dualities. We want to just say about those things. So that's the.
To me, it would be given the keys. You're given the keys to get out of jail. In other words, it's a liberating thing. It's not, you know, you've got to unlock and get out. But it's a Jewish thing in the sense of, you know, coming out of jail.
Owning a house is sounds really great until you have to start fixing up the gutter.
Fun.
Owning a house is great until a piece of ice falls off and breaks the gutter. Now you have to fix that too. I mean, anything you have that you have to put a lot of work and effort and money into is, you could look at it as a joy, you could look at it as a big sink for your all your efforts. Either way.
Yeah.
I have to get my gutters fixed, by the way.
You and a lot of others. Okay. All right, good one.
Where's the
rational?
That's
the
yeah.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That's a real
story.
Is it just in the code?
Journalists went on there.
You mean a lot?